Hello, how are you? Welcome to The Drive Podcast. My name is Ted Henley. Fathers, they play a big role in a child's development. Actually, I should say male figures, not just fathers, but also uncles, grandfathers, step-parents, significantly older brothers. They all play a role in helping children learn and grow. On the podcast today, in honor of Father's Day, what male figures do for kids as they develop. Also on the podcast today, what to watch, six ideas for you, six suggestions of something to stream, and off the top of the podcast, why cryptocurrency is so volatile right now. The crypto crash as of late has been dominating the news, right? But a lot of you may be like me, and it's still a bit of a mystery, you know, as an investment option. Well, to help figure out why the crash has been happening and to explain exactly, what we need to keep in mind if you want to jump into the crypto game, Dr. Erica Pimentel is joining us this afternoon. Dr. Pimentel is an accounting professor out of the Smith School of Business at Queen's University. And Dr. Pimentel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay, so what's going on with crypto this week? It seems, I guess, extra volatile.
Yeah, so what we're seeing is a series of events that are solidifying the fears people had about the crypto space. So you may recall a couple weeks ago, there was a lot of news about a stablecoin, Terra USD, which just fell apart. And then the news this week was that there were several crypto platforms that were not allowing people to make withdrawals. So it's the equivalent of a bank run.
Yeah.
Basically, if your Bitcoin or your Ether was being held by these platforms and you make a request to get your money back, it's not happening. And these things are sort of viral, right? One person can't make a withdrawal and then three people and 10 people. And that's why we've seen some of these platforms now are engaging insolvency lawyers, seeing that maybe, you know, this might be coming to an end for them. I think what we need to understand, though, is that even 5 years ago, crypto was not as mainstream as it is now. It's not mainstream yet at all, but I've seen some research that suggests the movement of crypto is sort of like tech stocks, right? It's starting to track the movement of tech stocks in the market. Before, it was completely unrelated at all to the market movements. So as the broader economy is experiencing inflation, is experiencing interest rate hikes, is experiencing a general move away from risky assets, we're seeing the same thing happening in crypto. So the broader market trend, well, crypto is no longer insulated from that. Coupled with all this bad news, that's making people doubly nervous about this area that's already, we've heard a lot of frauds, a lot of issues with. There's a lot of reasons why people are saying, I was already nervous, and I really don't want to be invested in this space.
Okay. So if I understand you correctly, there's the investors in general who want to unload a bit of risk, on their books, so to speak. There's kind of that component. And then there's the double whammy of the fears that some people may have about not being able to withdraw their money as hard cash, so to speak, instead of like more Bitcoin. It's the double whammy effect. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly it. And normally when we have these things like bank runs in the traditional economy, the government will step in, institutions will step in to provide some security to help potential investors out. But we have to remember, this is a sector that is almost entirely unregulated, right? These new products will come out and they are designed to skirt securities laws. And so investors are now coming to terms with how unprotected they are and how little recourse they have to get some type of restitution. You know, if I have a bank account with the Royal Bank and for some reason the Royal Bank can't honor my deposits, well, we have, you know, deposit insurance in Canada. There is no such thing in the crypto world, and people are finally coming to terms with that.
I see. I'm chatting with Dr. Erica Pimentel this afternoon. Dr. Pimentel's an accounting professor out of the Smith School of Business at Queen's University. We're talking crypto. We've been just chatting over the last couple of minutes about why crypto feels extra volatile this week. And I guess, Dr. Pimentel, the importance of understanding the fact that crypto is not as regulated as, you know, and I'm using air quotes, you can't see it, but conventional investments. I guess this speaks to the importance of understanding those fundamentals about crypto, right?
100%. So before the price of Bitcoin tanked and every other crypto followed, there was a lot of good money going to bad projects. There was a ton of hype in this space. I remember talking to an interviewing investor in this space as part of my research, and he said to me, I can't take the time to really understand the fundamentals of any of these projects, because by the time I do, the investment opportunity will be passed. Well, in plain English, we call that gambling.
Yeah.
And I think there was a lot of that, right, of hype of people, you know, NFTs that are non-fungible tokens, NFTs that are trading for over $1 million. Like, does that even make sense? Like, what are the fundamentals of these assets? And people weren't asking questions, right? There's this major phenomenon that's been documented in the finance research, FOMO, fear of missing out. And retail investors, regular people, are very susceptible to this, and it extended to the crypto space. And so you hear from your barber, you hear from your mailman, you hear from every person in your entourage, all the money that they're making in Bitcoin, you say, ah, I want to jump online too. Or even worse, not just Bitcoin, some really altcoin that nobody's ever heard of, there's a massive opportunity. Well, it's so important in an unregulated space like this for investors to do their homework. You might not be a tech expert. You might not be able to read the code of the blockchain that underlies a project, but you can do your homework by reading the white paper, looking up the team behind the project, doing your due diligence to make sure you understand, and just step back and ask yourself, does this project have good basic business sense before putting your money in and jumping on the hype bandwagon? And so I hope that the fear we have about crypto will not undermine the overall potential of blockchain, because I think it really has some amazing properties that can change the way we do business, change the way we do transactions. But in the problem is that there was just so much hype that, you know, some of these great projects got clouded away by some of the weaker projects that were taking a lot of space in the market. I don't think that we have seen the bottom yet, though. I think there's more problems that are going to emerge till we hit the bottom of all these scandals, and then, you know, as the economy picks up, well, this space will pick up too.
Okay, you said homework about 60 seconds ago. So for anyone who doesn't know or who's still on the fence and is kind of wondering, is it possible? I know this is kind of like an elevator pitch type of situation, but Bitcoin Crypto 101, maybe like give me a 60-second answer if somebody asked you in an elevator.
If someone had a new crypto project that came on their desk, I would say first thing, who's behind it? Who's the team? Do they have success before? Do they know what they're doing? What is the business model? Does it make sense? Has it already been done? There's a lot of copycat projects in the crypto space. What is the underlying blockchain technology? Is it built on the Ethereum blockchain? Is it built on another blockchain? And really going online, and there's a whole crypto community on Reddit and on Twitter. I know that sounds very unsophisticated, but that's where you'll find these people. What are other people saying about it? If nobody's talking about this project, you don't want to be the only person investing. So take your time, do your homework, and start small. Don't bet the farm. Start with $500 or a smaller amount, and then build your way up to build up your crypto empire.
I love it. Thank you, Dr. Pimentel. I appreciate this conversation this afternoon, especially for an old art student like me. I was not a finance guy, so I love the way you kind of broke it down for me. Thank you for this.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
That's Dr. Erica Pimentel, an accounting professor out of the Smith School of Business at Queen's University. The impact of fathers on the development of children. That's the subject we're digging into right now. I'd like to welcome Dr. Carolyn Buzanko to The Drive. Dr. Carolyn Buzanko is the founder of Koru Family Psychology. Dr. Buzanko, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about the impact of fathers and male figures on children. How do they influence little ones?
Oh, there's so many ways. Let me count the ways. I mean, we could probably talk for hours about that. So many positive things that I think it's really easy for us to overlook. Language development, it's actually really interesting. Researchers have shown that dads can actually promote their children's language development more than moms. Yeah. They ask questions. You know, it's interesting. I was just working with a five-year-old kiddo the other day, and he knew the word frugal. I'm like, how do you know the word frugal? Like, I got to ask. And he's like, well, I was watching a SpongeBob SquarePants with my dad, and he's asking questions. You know, what do you think frugal means? And using context cues. And dads are really good at that, getting that critical thinking, asking lots of questions, going through books. When they're reading, what does that word mean? What do you think is going to happen next? So we're having conversations. We're getting critical thinking, you know, walking your kids to school. Dads will ask, you know, oh, here's an apple tree. Why do some fruits grow in trees, but fruits like watermelon grow in the grounds? You know, they just have those, you know, insightful questions that really show huge influences on our children's language development. They're critical thinking skills, their conversational skills. So that's one key way for sure.
When it comes to play, play, you know, because kids learn so much through, you know, active play and doing things. Are there things that dads and father figures do differently compared to, you know, mothers?
Yes, they are far more physical on the one hand. And so I'm always telling moms, less talking, more touching. Dads are great at that. And even through, first I'll start with, you know, just rough and tumble play, wrestling with their kids. That is so important for our kiddos' self-regulation, their emotion regulation, and far more. I mean, they experience that far more with fathers than they do with mothers. But getting down in the dirt and digging up the worms, I mean, it's true. Kids learn 90% of what they learn is through experience. And in the younger years, that play is so important to be able to figure out who they are and what they think about the world and to process all of their emotions. So dads are really good through that play, and they push their kids a little bit more.
And oh, okay.
Our kids actually really need that. They don't let kids avoid if, oh, I can't throw the ball or I can't catch the ball. Kids might get frustrated and throw it down. No, come on, bud. We're going to go. So they have that supportive and confident response that helps our kids realize, okay, I'm going to work through this, a little bit of that perseverance, which is so important for resilience. And then we actually see with dads this greater perceived competence because they have this supportive father who's pushing me out of my comfort, you know, limits. Dads are usually better than moms with all of those kinds of things.
Interesting.
Dads also give them lots of opportunities. I think just because they're more physical, they're creating big, elaborate, you know, like with boxes, you know.
Oh, like forts or something like that, right? Yeah, okay.
Entry houses and things like that. Dads actually have lots of opportunities for that with the play, that imagination piece. But even just opportunities to go and use power tools. Those are important opportunities. I mean, resilience is the big thing that I always focus on. Resilience needs opportunities. And dads are so good at that. My girls are out in the garage using the hammer, out doing oil changes with dad. You know, they're far more than me. And I don't want to give blue jobs pink jobs by any stretch of the imagination, but we do see dads giving their kids far more opportunities like that. We just see so many different things, those opportunities that they can come up with.
I'm chatting with Dr. Carolyn Bozanko this afternoon. Dr. Bozanko is the founder of Koru Family Psychology. And we're talking about the impact of fathers and on the development of children. And when it comes to Dr. Bozanko, when you're chatting with clients, are there things that you think dads or father figures can do better. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there are lots of positives we're chatting about there, but everyone has things to work on. Are there things that I'm just, I have four kids. Three of them are, you know, 18 to 23, but I have a 7-year-old. So he's right in the wheelhouse of still learning and still being heavily influenced by myself. What should I be doing more of that you think would kind of help out my little guy?
The number one thing that I work on with all the families that I see, doesn't matter what they bring their kiddos in or their families in for, the number one thing I'm always working on is effective communication. And the killer of effective communication is talking. So I'm always telling parents 95% less talking. and so what we should be doing is listening. And I'm going to give you the secret to effective listening. It's adjective, period. So what I mean by that is, first of all, we got to know our kids are never going to see the same picture as us. You know, given the situation, they're never going to have the same perspective at all. They're going to see things differently. So as soon as we start talking, we're usually trying to teach them lecture, punish, consequence, bribe, you know, all of these things are unhelpful. We got to make sure that we are on the same page with them, because they're always going to be, yeah, but. They're going to get defensive. And so whenever they come to us, oh, you know, Susie colored all over my picture. We don't want to say, well, it's just a picture. You can do another one, right? We try to soften the blue a little bit. In any situation, adjective, period. Oh, but that sucks. Sucks is the adjective. And then period. We don't need to add any more. If we can get that, we can master that, you're going to circumvent any big emotion, even as they get into teenage years, right? They are like, yeah, dad gets me. It does suck. They're not going to fight against that, right? Oh, man, that's so disappointing. Disappointing is the adjective. So that's my secret, really, for parenting. If you can master that, you're going to be a great parent.
Master listening. There you go. I love it. Dr. Bezanko, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. I appreciate this. Thank you.
No problem. Take care.
You too. Have a good weekend. That's Dr. Carolyn Bezanko, the founder of Koru Family Psychology. Listening. Adjectives. I love learning something like this. And also love learning about the impact fathers, male figures, can have in the development of children. It's fascinating stuff. On the 770 CHQR edition of The Drive, myself and the producer of The Calgary Show, Matthew McNaughton, give you six suggestions, six ideas, three from me, three from Matt, on what you can stream this weekend. So with that in mind, Matthew McNaughton joins me here in the talk studio. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Good, thanks, Ted. Thanks for having me.
As always, I love it. Yeah. These are always great ideas. Okay, so I think it's my turn to go first this week. So, Matt, hold tight with your picks, and we're going to get to mine right away. Listeners to 770 CHQR would know about this because I've been talking about it all week. But last weekend, I got to see the new Top Gun Maverick movie, and it was awesome. So my first suggestion this week is to watch the old school Top Gun show.
I feel the need for speed.
The original 86 film, Tom Cruise, Kelly McGillis, Val Kilmer, Anthony Edwards.
So
such
good.
A good show.
Yeah, it still holds up.
It does.
Such a great movie.
It does. It certainly does indeed, right? And the music too, right? You've got Kenny Loggins, and then you've got Take My Breath Away. Yeah, come on. In the love scenes. Oh, it's so good. So that's my first suggestion for this weekend is go back in time, have some fun with the original version of Top Gun from 1986. Maybe I'm onto a bit of a theme here for going old school this weekend, but we just had the Canadian Open happen. The U.S. Open is on this weekend, so that has me in the mood to watch an old-school golf movie.
Oh, why didn't you just go home? That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Why not? watch Happy Gilmore.
I love that movie so much.
Adam Sandler yelling at the ball to get into the hole is awesome. But do you remember that fight scene between Adam Sandler and Bob Barker on the golf course? Priceless.
Yeah. Priceless. Such a good scene. Carl Weathers is in it.
Yeah, he's good.
I think it's my favorite Sandler movie.
Really?
I think it might be. It's at least top three for me.
Okay, for sure. It's so good. All right. Happy Gilmore, by the way. Oh, Top Gun is on HBO Crave. Happy Gilmore's on Netflix. And finally, for my picks this week, why don't we go old school and talk about The Dude.
Fella, I want to tell you about a fella by the name of Jeff Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski is pick number three for me. Why? No reason. It's just a good movie.
I mean, your pick is like just your opinion, man.
Yeah, exactly. The Dude Abides. Yeah. The Dude Abides. Jeff Bridges, John Goodman, Julianne Moore, Steve Buscemi, John Turturro, and of course, Sam Elliott as the narrator. So good.
That mustache.
Oh, it's priceless. It really is. Okay, The Big Lebowski, that's on Amazon Prime. Happy Gilmore's on Netflix, and Top Gun is on HBO Crave. Matt, what about you? Take it away.
All right, my first pick, it's a new Netflix original starring some pretty big names. It's got Chris Hemsworth. It's got Miles Teller, who's in the new Top Gun.
Yeah, yeah.
Journey Smollett. This is a new movie on Netflix.
That's Spider-Head.
We're proud of our work.
Your presence in this facility, while technically a punishment, is a privilege.
In science, we have to explore the unknown.
That is Spiderhead.
Spiderhead? Yeah, I have not heard of this.
It's based on a book. It's kind of a strange dystopian thriller. It's about these prisoners who are being watched by a prison warden, who is Chris Hemsworth, and he may or may not be conducting some psychological experiments.
There's always some sort of psychological experiment going on in those prisons.
I'm terrified of it.
Okay, very cool. And which platform is that on?
That is a Netflix original.
Just came out.
That's Spider-Head. My second pick is a incredible retelling of a famous Arthurian legend.
Greatest of kings, let one of your knights try to land a blow against me. Indulge me in this game.
How many?
1 year hence.
That is the Green Knight.
The Green Knight.
Green Knight. Yes, the Green Knight is on Amazon Prime, starring Dev Patel. It's got Joel Egerton, Alicia Vikander. It is a retelling of the story of, I believe it's Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, classic Arthurian story. The visuals in the movie are beautiful.
Wow.
It's one of the most visually impressive movies I've seen in a long time.
Okay, and the platform again, just to remind everyone.
That is on Amazon Prime
Video.
That's
on Prime, okay.
Yes, that is correct. My third pick keeps in line with a little bit of the medieval feel. This is a latest movie by Ridley Scott, Ben Affleck, and Matt Damon.
There is only one question that matters. Do you swear on your life that what you say is true?
I say before all of you, I spoke the truth.
That's The Last Duel.
The Last Duel?
The Last Duel, that's on HBO Crave. Okay. It is based on a true story. The last duel that ever took place in France.
Really?
Really, yeah. It stars, like I mentioned, it's got Matt Damon, it's got Ben Affleck. Adam Driver is in it.
That's a good cast.
It's a really good cast. Ridley Scott directing, of course. Yeah. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon wrote it.
Okay.
Together, and it's this really kind of slow burn look at a kind of monumental event of the final duel in France.
All right, just recap your three picks again, if you don't mind, for everyone.
That is Spider-Head on Netflix, The Green Knight, that is Amazon Prime Video, and The Last Duel, that is HBO Crave.
Good stuff. Thanks, Matt. Hey, I'm Ted Henley. Thanks for listening to The Drive Podcast. Please tell your friends about what you're hearing. Also, please rate, review, and subscribe. This podcast, of course, is free wherever you get your favorite content. If you want to hear The Drive with Ted Henley live, then please tune in or stream the show weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on Global News Radio 770 CHQR.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.